Blog Talk Radio.
Videotape. I'm your host, Heaven Hollywood, the closer. My partner is the comic Adam D. Parsons. He is still away on other obligations. We're going to go into a lot of stuff here on another Saturday on what I like to call the most entertaining, the hottest new sports talk show on the web. And that is Death of V Show, Sports Live and Videotape, sponsored by Dollhouse Radio and Demorel. Of course, the number is 646-595-4038 when we start taking calls. Of course, we're going to go into what's been dominating the old sports world the past week. And that's Deflategate. Not the Super Bowl, but Deflategate. And ironically, how ironic that we're going to go into Super Bowl week and the talk has not once been about the game yet, about a matchup. We're going to bring in my partner, filling in for Adam D. Parsons. None other than my Benchwarmers partner, the host of and creator of the Benchwarmers. I like to call him Jimmy Ace, James Acevedo.
What, no Aerosmith this week? What's up?
Stay with me, stay for the years, stay for the...
I didn't feel like crying this week.
Well, I feel like crying. I'm sick of this Deflategate garbage. Can we talk about the game?
I love it. You know why I love it? Because can't talk about the game for 2 weeks. Deflategate kept us going for at least a week. Now, instead of having to talk about the game for 2 weeks, now I only have to talk about the game for a week. It made the week go much quicker because I can't stand.
It's good for our business, that's for sure. That's what damn
right, sure. Most definitely. And I can't stand when Super Bowl comes, the game kicks off at like 6:40, and they start running pregame shows at 11 a.m. I mean, like, what are we going to talk about for 8 hours?
First of all, who are these people? I feel like Seinfeld. Who are these people? Who are these people that watches these long-ass pregame shows during the Super Bowl? I mean, they got those shows where, it's another 3 days and 25 minutes and 35 seconds till kickoff. Like, really? Like, I mean, get a life. Seriously.
I'll tell you right now. Now I won't because it's, like, turned into such a spectacle. But I'm not going to lie, dude. When I was 11, 12, 13 years old, man, I watched that entire thing from the time
it
came on.
It was so different.
Because, you know, I didn't have to watch Beyonce and Bruno Mars before.
Yeah, I know. Wiz
Khalifa, and we got all these three Super Bowl performances. They just talked about the game.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Jimmy the Greek, and yeah, then he got racist, and then that was it.
I would get so fired up that whole week. I would watch, or they would play every Super Bowl leading up until the Super Bowl you're watching.
Yeah, they're doing that on NFL Network, showing all the Super Bowls. You know,
I think
have
to watch that.
Though. I love that.
Yeah, they're wired up. Some of that's wired,
yeah,
and then they'll and they stop and say what happened on this play was, and they go back and they show it and they rewind fast forward,
rewind fast forward.
Oh, man, I tell you, stuff like that is great. But this entire week, 6:30, we're going to have Mark Stolpa, NFL analyst, also defense attorney. Maybe he can give us a defense
I'm
going to ask him what defense.
I got behavior.
would he draw up for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
Let's be honest. Now, everyone knows I hate the Patriots, which makes no sense to some people because I'm a Giants fan. But that's because I hate Boston.
Right.
I'm a Yankee fan. So anything Boston related, it doesn't matter. It could be a high school team. I don't care. I hate them.
Right.
Right? So when this came out, I'm like, all right, this is like a little cry over spilled milk. Because let's be honest, they could have played with a frisbee and still kicked the Colts' ass. Let's be honest. I mean, we all knew that the Patriots were going to win. The chances of the Colts winning, I said, was at least maybe 50%, unless the weather was involved.
I never gave him 50% chance.
I was way too much, a little more confident than you were, definitely for that.
Right.
But okay, now all this is coming out, and okay, don't get me wrong, I'm loving the fact that game coming, you know, that everyone's coming down on them. Because trust me, I respect them, but I can't stand them. I'll be honest, you know, when you hear them go, when you hear Bill Belichick, who knows the rules if his life depending on it, but like from the back of his hand, I cannot believe that he says, well, I have no idea. See, that's my gripe. That's my gripe. Come on, dude, you're a football nerd. You know everything. You know from the rules of the cheerleaders what dress code they wear. You know, come on, give me a break. I don't buy that for a minute. And for Tom Brady, you know, I'm Mr. Nice Guy. And did you hear how he laughed his ass off like it's so funny? Oh, yes, deflated balls.
Exactly.
Like, dude, you know, you should have went to Derek Jeter school and just would have been like, well, you know, that's something, you know. But no, you know, See, and you wonder why people like me hate your team. You know what I'm saying? I hope the Seahawks win. I hope they kick their ass. I mean, the Seahawks have played. We'll talk about it later. I mean, it was a miracle how they won last week, a week ago, week ago from this past Sunday. But as of now, isn't it just a 1-point dog? Like, the Patriots are a 1-point dog or something, right?
I'm going to tell you something. And to me, I was very surprised watching this thing. And I'm saying, listen, Seattle's defending champs.
Yep.
You know, I believe every game except the Rams game, Rams Super Bowl, the Patriots have been favored. Seattle, to me.
Yeah, that's the only one. Yeah.
After you win games like that, I just really can't see them losing. Now, anything can happen, but usually you win a game that you're supposed to lose and you snatch victory from the jaws of defeat.
Jaws of defeat, yep. That's
usually, usually it plays out pretty well for you. But let me go to the off with
Deflategate. Yeah,
this is my gripe. My gripe is how everyone now all of a sudden, because it's the Patriots, they want to blow it off and say this is ridiculous. I can't believe we've been waiting. Listen, they cheated. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear any more about the Colts. Everyone that comes up and starts an argument says, oh, I mean, they didn't need to beat. We already know they didn't need to beat the Colts. This goes far beyond
the
Colts.
Well, the first time. Yeah,
okay?
Well, we know.
Right, this
we're
goes far beyond the Colts. Because what it does do is you're going to say to yourself, you think that Tom Brady, for a home game, against a team that they were favored to beat anyway on weather conditions that favor him. Do you think he's going to pick that game to decide to cheat? No.
No.
No. He's been doing it all along. That is the reason why it's so second nature to him. They were doing it against the Ravens. The Ravens were the ones who alerted the Colts about the deflation. The Ravens were the one who blew the whistle and told the Colts, be on the lookout for the ball because we believe he's using a deflated ball. That's how the Colts, when DeQuell Jackson picked the ball off and people had it all backwards, oh, how would a lineman know? He didn't. He's an innocent bystander. He wanted to save the ball as a souvenir. It was the equipment manager who initially said, you know what? This ball feels deflated. So that's my question, and that's why I turned my nose up to Brady and the Belichick. If their equipment manager knew it was deflated, how does Tom Brady not know it's deflated? Let's get to him and his nonsense. First of all, coming up there with that stupid hat with that stupid pom pom on top when you're doing a press conference.
Yeah, I know. Don't you want to smack him?
That's the first thing. He sat up there with that grin on his face that looked like
punching
he was guilty.
Yeah,
you know,
no
he
kidding.
Wants to blood. He takes the stand with his arrogant self. Like, there's no, I would never cheat the game. I do this, Tom. You were cheating with you were in the middle of cheating with. With a spygate. What do you mean? You never cheat the game. You believe in fair play. Okay? Let me break down three statements by Brady.
Go ahead.
The three statements that stood out to me. The very first statement was, he said, he gets the balls the way he likes them. He gets the footballs the way he likes them. To them, they're perfect. He doesn't want them touched. I get my footballs to 12.5 PSI. To me, that's perfect. So he said 12.5 is perfect. But then later on in the conversation when they brought up the fact of the balls, well, I can't tell whether they're deflated or not. You just told us the exact number you like the ball at.
Exactly.
So now you're going to tell me just 2 seconds later, well, I can't really tell. I'm throwing the ball. I'm trying to read defenses. I'm just telling the other. I really can't tell whether the ball's deflated or not.
Yeah, which, by the way, 12.5 ounces is the legal limit, which is 15 ounces. You know, the pounds per pressure, 12 point pounds per pressure. A lot of people are getting confused because it's 2 pounds of square inch. It's not 2 full pounds of air.
Right.
It's totally different, way different.
Right. So, I mean, that's one thing with that. Okay, second statement that had everybody, that just had me realize.
Yeah, well, he's lying. No doubt.
And this is shout out to the Boston media who gave Tom Brady no home discount whatsoever.
Good.
They were rough on him
I like
as soon as he
that.
Came
Good.
Out.
Good.
You know that I give them a shout out for.
Yeah,
and the guy proposed the question straight up. Are you a cheater? Tom Brady's answer, I don't believe so.
Well,
you don't
that's not a real yes or no answer.
You don't believe so? Either you are or you aren't. If
so
you are sitting up here.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say real quickly, just like Belichick, you know the rule books from front to back. You know what's legal, what's not. You mean to tell me, oh, I believe so?
I don't believe. If you were to cheat, I would say absolutely, unequivocally not.
Thank you.
I am not a cheater. That's the answer you should have given. If you're saying that you didn't do anything, I don't believe that I am. I believe. What do you mean you don't believe that you are? Tom, did you have the balls altered or not? Did you tell the equipment boy to alter the balls or not?
I mean,
did you knowingly have you been knowingly deflating the balls when you know you are not allowed to touch them?
I mean, didn't these football players go to the O.J. Simpson school of deny, deny, deny? I mean, didn't they learn? Deny, deny, deny.
I mean, that's what they're doing, but the thing is this. You can't really deny, you know, you're standing there, you know, you're standing
I mean,
there with.
Better.
You know, with all the soil from the flower pot all over your clothes, and you're saying you had you know nothing about it. I didn't break mom's face.
Like so a cat getting caught with the canary in its mouth, like
right. So that to me is nonsense. And now Bill, and again, the thing with Bill Belichick, how everyone is so fooled, so quick to want to give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt. Oh,
because of that, that's why.
He's really believable. Now,
give him a break.
Somebody made a very good point. I believe it was
that?
Peter King. I don't want to misquote and give somebody wrong credit. But the person came up and said the exact thing that I said. Listen, Bill Belichick knows everything that goes on in that stadium.
Thank
with that
you.
Football team,
exactly.
Every
Thank
movement
you.
Someone makes, Sal Palatorio said, when he comes to that stadium, they watch his every move.
Yep.
And he's a guy with
Absolutely.
A press pass. They watch his every move he makes. They know where he is at all points in time that he's in that stadium. So for Bill Belichick to say, I know absolutely, I've never asked a question about ball pressure in my 40 years of coaching.
That's a damn
And
lie.
The guy that gave it up said, Bill Belichick, and he said, you know, I remember how Goodell told Sean Payton ignorance is not an excuse, and how everyone said, oh, there's
yep.
no way Joe Paterno runs Penn State. There's no
that's
way he
one.
Didn't know about
yeah,
those boys.
Thing. That's yeah, it's a little different, but the same as far as the way it's going. You know what I mean?
The,
like,
the reason why, I mean, it's different cases, but
circumstance, yeah.
But Bill Belichick is the Joe Paterno of the NFL.
Yes.
He knows
Period.
Everything that goes down in
yeah.
Gillette Stadium.
He's an anal guy. He's the type of guy that he wants to make sure everything is in order. Everything is in order. He's not a half-assed type of person. He's not.
So that is the reason why I don't buy it.
Yes,
I'll buy
exactly.
It. Is it possible? Is it possible that? Is it possible he didn't know about? Yeah, I guess it's possible. I think it's almost impossible that Tom Brady knew nothing about it.
Well, somebody's lying, and I think it's both of them. To be honest with you.
So, I mean, we'll something will come. Now, that was our second one. The third point.
Tris.
So, Tom, does the NFL plan to do anything about this? I don't know. They haven't spoken to me. This was Thursday.
You know
this
how
was
embarrassing
Thursday.
That is? You know how embarrassing that is? Like, does the NFL learn? I swear, what a calendar year the NFL is having. They are so half-assed. And so it doesn't matter, domestic abuse,
right.
You know, child abuse or whatever, you know, cheating the game. They're so half-assed with it. Oh, you would think it would be the first thing Monday morning. We're going to your facility. We're going to talk to everybody, investigate, and we're going to come to the decision by the next day after. No, they're half-assed
right.
everything. It's unbelievable. They have no common sense. None whatsoever. They're horrible with public relations. They know how to make money, but they're horrible with public relations. They're stupid. They're just dumb.
I mean, you know, so now we have Brady pretty much passing the buck. Well, Belichick pretty much threw Brady under the bus. Asked Tom pretty much. He might have said ask Tom. Brady absolutely knows nothing about how it happened.
Sure.
So sure. I guess next, we're going to have some poor ball boy that they pay $1 million to take the fall. And, you know, you'll have to get fired, but you're set up for the rest of your life. Just don't say anything.
Don't you see this coming? Don't you see a scapegoat they're going to make somebody? You know it's
of
coming.
Course.
You know it's going to – equipment manager or ball – you know what I'm saying? Ball boy or
right.
something.
Equipment manager or ball boy. The ball boy that works part-time and now
kid,
he's home
you know.
For vacation because he doesn't work the playoffs. The NFL,
fired.
You got the playoffs. They have to wait until after the postseason and then – they're going to drag it. But I'll tell you one thing, and I heard someone else say it, and I have to agree with you. The NFL is praying that the Seattle Seahawks win this game because there is no way that Roger Goodell, handing as the confetti is falling on Tom Brady's head, and this thing is still holding over their head, and he walks up and has to hand the trophy to the Patriots with this thing not resolved. They are praying the Seahawks win this game.
Yeah, but you know what it seems like, Heaven? And the way they respond to certain things, which you would think that we respond much quicker, it's almost like they're saying to, you know, the owners and Goodell are saying to each other, we hope that it just goes away by itself. Don't they know better with social media and the way it is now? There is absolutely no way that's going to happen. It make it worse. If you just leave, if I start a fire and walk away, do you think it's going to be put out by itself or you think it's going to spread? Hello. Stupid.
Exactly.
They're so stupid, really. They're their own worst enemy, really.
So my thing is, who actually blew the whistle? From what I hear, it was the Ravens. The Colts actually, in a past report, the report is that back when they played in November, the Colts brought this up.
See, but
the Colts brought this up the first time that they played in the regular season.
But this is my thing. Why didn't they say nothing then? That's what I don't get.
This is the thing. They did. From what I'm hearing, they did mention it.
Okay.
It was just thrown under the back burner. They probably didn't make the big deal out of it.
Mm.
You know, but it was mentioned that, you know what? I don't know whether they went to tell NFL, whether they mentioned around the league, whether a couple of players from the Colts mentioned it, but it was brought up back then.
Okay. All right. Well, because it's almost like to me, because I took it like, well, why they waited to now unless their backyard is just as dirty? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, why wouldn't you say right away, hey, yo, check their footballs, yo? You know?
Then they try to make all the people are trying to cover up. Well, what if because they have some physics or some scientist that comes on and says if the balls were inflated to right at the brink of the minimum, you know, once weather drops under 30 degrees, the balls could use deflation. Oh, yeah? Why didn't the Colts' balls lose air? They were playing in the same weather.
Not only that, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it go up to 40 degrees? You know what I'm saying?
Whether it didn't, the bottom line is this. Come on. 12 out of 13 balls, or 11 out of 12 balls, whatever it was. Everything except one ball, all of the Colts' balls were perfect. They lost no air from the beginning to the end of the game.
You know that 12 ball is the kicker's ball. That's why that wasn't deflated.
Okay. So, I mean, come on. And the bottom line is this. And everyone, if it wasn't the Patriots, you're probably right. But you know what? It is the Patriots.
Yep.
And it's the Patriots' own fault that they have this stigma hanging over their head. It's their own fault from when they were going around taping people on their walkthroughs. I don't want to hear about if it wasn't the Patriots and the way people like Mike Lupica, the only people that's trying to blow this off as no big deal.
Screw him.
No big deal. It is a big deal when you guys wanted to stay on Adrian Peterson beating his kid. I don't want to compare the two, but you know what? That has nothing to do with football. That has nothing to do with what takes place on the field. And I had to hear about Adrian Peterson for a month beating that little bratty kid.
Yeah, let's be honest. If anybody doesn't know, he did throw his sibling like off of a video game motorcycle, a bike or something, and that's why the kid got beat. So it wasn't like Adrian Peterson woke up one morning and said, "You know what? I'm gonna beat the hell out of my kid."
Right.
You know?
They wanted to hear about that, and they wanted stuff done about that, and they want Adrian Peterson and whoever else gets a case now, they want them taken off the field first. And so, so why isn't that true for the Patriots? You know what? Let's take them off the field first, and then when this investigation is done, if it comes out that Bill Belichick had absolutely nothing to do with it, he can come back. But until then, we're not going to allow him to manage with the stigma of a cheater being held over his head.
Let's be honest. No pun intended, but they don't have the balls to do it. They would never. Right. They would never suspend Bill Belichick. Even
oh God knows, of course not. And number one, it's going to affect the almighty dollar, the bottom line, right before
the
Super Bowl. You take Tom Brady or someone out of the Super Bowl. No one's going to care. No one's going to watch it. No one's going to watch the Super Bowl if the Patriots are playing without Tom Brady. So of course, they're not going to. But my point is, what should they do? Let's just say, of course, as of right now, they have denial, and they don't have the weapon. They can't find the murder weapon. Okay,
yeah.
All they know is somebody is shot and killed.
There's blood. I've seen.
And there's blood, but you can't find
blood.
The murder weapon. So,
there's blood tracks,
the husband is a prime suspect. He has no alibi. He was missing during the time.
Ooh.
Of the death, and everyone thinks it's him, but they have no murder weapon.
No murder
so,
weapon. Nobody.
Right, nobody. So what happens is this.
Actually,
if the New England Patriots are found guilty, they find the murder weapon, and they find out that it was Brady that who ordered the equipment guy, or they find out that Belichick overseed everything and he knew about it. What, in your opinion, should be the penalty?
That is a huge, huge.
Now let's
effect.
Take. Let's
that
be. We're going to be realistic, and we're
yeah.
going to say now. And now, of course, I think in a rule book, I think it's like
$25,000.
You know,
$25,000
and a couple. Of, but this is the second offense, and you're jeopardizing the integrity of the game. And you're also leaving it open for people to believe that you've done it before.
Now, okay, this is to be fair, even though it's a different sport. But remember, A-Rod, he cheated differently, but he cheated again.
Right.
He got suspended a full year. Hey,
right.
If what's his name, Sean Payton, he got suspended for that bounty gate for a year. Why can't Tom Brady if they have all the evidence? Or with Bill Belichick. Why not? It's
this
only
is
fair,
my
right?
thing. Here's my thing. Number one, I try my best to wrap this up before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh, they have to.
If they find out, like I said, they already found out it was done. My thing is this. If no one confesses, this is my penalty. If no one confesses by the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick is not coaching the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's playing. Bill Belichick is not coaching the Super Bowl. And he is suspended. And he's suspended for the first four games of next year. You got the Super Bowl and four games. If it comes out that Tom Brady knew about this Deflategate. Now I'm only telling you what I would do if I was the
commissioner. Yeah.
Okay. If Tom Brady knew about this and it comes out and they won the Super Bowl, to me that championship is forfeited and it goes to the Seahawks. If Tom Brady knew about it and they lose the Super Bowl, he's suspended for next season. All of next season.
You have to make it so
they do not ever even think about cheating again. Because at this point, I made the analogy on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you knew you could cheat on your wife and nothing happened, how many people aren't going to do it?
Oh,
if they knew there were no repercussions whatsoever,
no yeah.
she finds out and she yells and screams and she cries.
Uh-huh.
But the next day she takes you back anyway and things
mm-hmm.
are back to normal.
Yeah, well, what do you think?
Okay, and the equivalent of an NFL player getting fined $25,000. Okay, no sex for you for a month.
Gee.
No sex for a month.
Five other chicks I got inside.
So, no sex for a month. That's probably the equivalent of the $25,000. But after a month, everything's back to normal.
Everything's lovey-dovey.
How many guys aren't doing it?
Oh, please. I'll be honest. I would take that deal.
Right, if that's what I'm saying. If you know she's not leaving, she knows she's not filing for divorce.
Of course. You save money. You know,
the risk is
going to
say. And the other woman is a beautiful woman. The risk reward. How many guys are going to do it? So if the Patriots are not getting any sorts of repercussion, $25,000, these guys carry that around in their sock.
That's stripper money. That's tip money for the strippers, you know.
That's stripper money for them. $25,000? That's nothing for them. And like I said, if you knew that you could not, there'd be no repercussions of you cheating on your wife, and if she found out, nothing, no sex for a month. Okay, if that's it, and the other woman's Kim Kardashian. How many men doing it?
By the way, I get that now, that once a month, so it doesn't matter. I can do it.
646-595-4038. We're going to be joined now by defense attorney and fantasy football writer Mark Stoper. He's calling. He had the decency to join us and give us a couple of minutes. Mark.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Thank you very much, sir. We're good. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to give us some of your expertise on what we're talking about here. And, of course, as you know, this week has been dominated by Super Bowl talk. Well, not Super Bowl talk yet.
Well, not really.
Not really Super Bowl talk, but the Flategate. And I just wanted to get your perspective on the Tom Brady press conference, the New England press conference, the Bill Belichick press conference, and what exactly do you think happened, and what do you think is going to happen to the New England Patriots?
Well, I'm kind of a stats geek, and I was kind of willing to give New England the benefit of the doubt until we saw some kind of smoking gun or proof or, the TMZ elevator shot, the smoking gun. But
right.
When the stats come out and say, a friend of mine, Mike Salfina, wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal, really good, that basically says, going back to 2010, we looked at fumbles throughout the NFL, not quarterback fumbles, because those can vary based on how good the quarterback play is, but fumbles from other positions, wide receivers, running backs, right? And we eliminated the indoor teams, so only outdoor teams fumble rates. The Patriots fumble once every 73 touches. That is, and this is over a five-year sample size, that is 52% better than the league average. And the next best team is the Ravens, who fumbled once every 55 touches.
Right.
That is an enormous difference. Now, there is no way to explain that, in my view, other than that there's something going on funky with the ball. Now, if that doesn't convince you, then think about this, okay? Several players who have played for New England and for other teams within that time span, if you combine their touches, they fumbled here. Six players: Danny Amendola, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Danny Woodhead, Wes Welker, Brandon LaFell, and LeGarrette Blount, okay? They have all played for New England and somebody else over that 5 years.
Right.
They have combined, they have lost the ball 8 times in 1,482 touches for the Patriots since 2010. That's one fumble every 185 times. For their other teams, those guys have fumbled once every 77 touches.
Guilty.
So one fumble every 77 touches when they play for other teams, one fumble every 185 touches when they play for New England. Okay, now think about that's an enormous number over a huge
enormous. Those are some great numbers.
Point, sir. Excellent.
And now think about how I think it only makes common sense. Like, I saw Jerome Bettis on ESPN the other day talking about how it would be easier to hold the ball and not fumble it if it's a little bit deflated. I mean, imagine running around, roughhousing with your friends. If the ball's fully inflated, it's like a brick. It's you're more likely to fumble it. But if
very
it's a little
grip,
deflated,
yeah.
you can mm-hmm. squeeze it a little tighter. And so that strikes me as exactly the sort of way that the deflating the balls over a consistent period of time would show up in fumbles like that. So to me, that shows that there's definitely been something going on over the last 5 years. And whether somebody's able to prove it or not, you know, I guess we still have to see. But I'm convinced by that data.
We're talking to Mark Stopa here on Twitter. He's at Mark Stopa, S-T-O-P-A. Really good stuff. If you before Bill Belichick's press conference, if you had said that Bill Belichick, would you believe that? Do you find it hard to believe that Bill Belichick knew if this is what took place, that he knew absolutely nothing about what was taking place? I mean, let's just I heard Tim Hasselbeck say, well, you know what, the only people that know are the equipment manager and the starting quarterback. But this is not a normal team. This is Bill Belichick. This is the New England Patriots. Okay, I see you. Normally, that might be the protocol. But Bill Belichick is the Joe Pa of NFL. He knows everything that takes place in Gillette Stadium. Do you find it a little hard to believe that Bill Belichick knew nothing about this situation?
For me, it's hard to say for sure on Belichick, but I definitely think that Brady knew what was going on. Because when you listen to guys like Troy Aikman come out and say, you know, guys who were in the NFL their whole lives and who know how that kind of stuff works, when they come out and say there's no way that Brady didn't know what was going on, to me that carries a lot of credibility. And I definitely think that Brady knew what was going on, especially when Brady is on record as saying that he likes the balls less at the very minimum legal amount of inflation. That's how he likes the balls kept. So I unequivocally think that Brady knew something about it. Belichick, I think it's harder to know, and I'd love to see what the NFL uncovers if they ever tell us, of course.
And we're talking once again to Mark Stopa, fantasy football writer, defense attorney. So if you're being a defense attorney, I want to ask you this question. Defense, if you're the Patriots and the NFL comes out tomorrow and says, you know, listen, we know something happened. It's obvious something happened. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady is on the brink of being suspended for the Super Bowl. You being a defense attorney, how would you go about handling on the defense for Belichick and Brady?
Well, the first thing I think I would have done is not have them say anything, because by coming out and making very public denials of any culpability, if anything does come out that they have something to do with it, it'll just be ten times worse, and any punishment
right.
would have to be 10 times greater. I don't get why they didn't just come out and say, you know, it's not appropriate for us to speak about this. This is
yes.
a league matter. The league is handling this. We're cooperating with the league, but we can't speak about it. You know, I don't think
that's what I thought they were going to say.
Right, exactly. And so the very public denials are going to make it 10 times worse if some evidence is uncovered.
Wow.
So I do foreclosure defense, but as a defense attorney, I would have gotten them to be quiet. And then as a practical matter, you just want to anything that you can do right now to kind of stall or slow the process just so you can get through the Super Bowl, because I can't imagine that the league is actually going to spend them for the Super Bowl, even if they found something. I think even
right.
if they found something now, they just would unearth it after the Super Bowl, because, you know, they don't want to do that for their own ratings and TV and all that stuff. But
absolutely.
I mean, nobody wants to see Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, as the quarterback in the Super Bowl. But we'll just have to see what happens, I guess. I can't wait to see. I find it fascinating, especially with those statistics, because it's just impossible for me to believe that's a coincidence.
Absolutely. We're talking to Mark Stopa. Mark, what about let's say the Patriots are founded, that it was founded that Tom Brady and or Bill Belichick knew about and or ordered an equipment boy, a ball boy, whatever, to deflate the balls, and you found out on Tuesday, the Tuesday before the Super Bowl. In your opinion, what would be the appropriate punishment if the Patriots are founded to be guilty and knowingly deflated the footballs.
Well, we had the NFL suspended Sean Payton for a year, just a few years ago, and that was some different issues with the Bountygate stuff. But, I mean, a year-long suspension, is there certainly precedent for that? And I think particularly now that they've lied, I think if there was a smoking gun of guilt and intent for Brady, Belichick, or whoever else, I think a year suspension is almost a given if there was a smoking gun uncovered. I don't think that a smoking gun is going to be uncovered or that we're ever going to know about it, because
right.
I think if the smoking gun existed, they wouldn't have come out with such public denial. It may be more like innuendos and things like that, like the statistics we're trying to put together. But who knows? Maybe there will be.
Well, and really quickly, Mark, I guess we have to – Jimmy Ace, I guess we have to ask him, you know, let's say once this all blows over and it's the Patriots and the Seahawks taking the field, do you think this hurts the Patriots or helps the Patriots going into the game? And how do you see the whole game playing out?
I don't see how it can help the Patriots. I mean, it's not like the concept that maybe that gives them extra motivation is really ridiculous, because it's the friggin' Super Bowl. So if you're not motivated to the max already, I don't see how it can make them more motivated. I mean, to me, it can only be a negative for the Patriots, because it's a potential distraction. I mean, it can't be good that they're having to waste time and energy and effort thinking about it, dealing with it, that sort of thing. So I have to characterize it as a negative, a small negative probably, assuming nobody gets suspended, but a negative
right.
nonetheless. In terms of how the game plays out, I mean, I like Seattle. I'm picking Seattle to win. But the way that I analyze the game, and I live the NFL at this time of year. I write fantasy columns for rotowire.com. But the way
right.
I analyze the game is I see the Patriots struggling to move the ball on offense. I don't think they can run with LeGarrette Blount against that defense. And Cam Chancellor is one of the few guys in the NFL who's big and athletic enough to actually cover Gronkowski in a decent way. And
right.
everybody knows the Seattle secondary is so good. So I see the Patriots struggling to move the ball a bit, whereas even though New England's strength is at their core, like with Revis, but that's not Seattle's strength, I think Seattle will be able to run a bit with Lynch. So I like Seattle in kind of a low-scoring 21-13 type of game, something like that. I like Seattle in the under is what I'll be betting.
He's on Twitter. He's at Mark Stoper. Mark,
yeah.
Let everybody know. We definitely appreciate you taking some time out. Let
yeah.
everybody know about where to find you as far as fantasy goes. And if somebody needs some, you know, some legal advice on some mortgages, you know,
yeah.
blow yourself up.
Yeah,
appreciate that, guys. I do foreclosure defense in Florida. My website is stayinmyhome.com, stayinmyhome.com. I'm pretty big in that. That's my day job. And then I love writing fantasy columns for rotowire.com during the NFL season. You guys were great. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. We appreciate your time. Anybody,
yes,
you want
do.
To stay in your house, I read this dude's pretty
yes.
good. So that's Mark Stoper. Mark, we appreciate you, man.
Yes, we do.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yes, you too.
Well, now, how about those numbers?
Yo, that was, you know what, man? That is an exclusive.
He's the first person
that
I heard say that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Gave us
that
an exclusive here.
On Dollhouse Radio, on the Sports Live Videotape Show.
That's right.
That number.
Tell ESPN to put that in their pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, to me, and you heard me in the background, I wasn't trying to be funny. Guilty. Guilty. I'm sorry. That's an astronomical difference in numbers.
The number.
That's crazy.
Now, Jimmy, I have to ask you this. We sat here. We sit here now for a week. We've
yep.
heard everybody defend and everybody say guilty. I'm sorry. I haven't heard those numbers.
Me
that's
either.
The first
but
person I've ever heard break
yes.
it down like that.
Exactly.
And the impressive thing was, not only did he give us the numbers as a Patriot, but what makes the difference there is the numbers as they're not Patriots. The
yes.
bigger difference, they fumbled 2-1 more,
yes.
more than
Wes
double.
Welker, all these other guys, you know, compare when he's on the Broncos to when he was
right.
on the Patriots. I mean, that is, I mean, that's a smoking gun to me. I'm sorry, I'm on the jury. I'm like, look, they're guilty. They're done.
Hey, guy, how come you ever fumble when you ain't on the Patriots? Answer that.
It's either Gorilla Glue or you deflating the balls. It's one or the other. One or the other, my friend.
646-595-4038. Wow, Mark Stoppard. That was a great spot.
Yo, he deserves more plugs. That guy was awesome. That was an awesome interview right there. Seriously.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Like I said, this week coming up is actually what they call press week.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick met the press today, and once again, first question that came out.
Mr. Personality.
You know. Yep. I don't know. The first thing came out was, you know, we've cooperated, we didn't break the rules, what have you, but there's a thing here from the NFL that says we have video evidence and we're reviewing the tape. So they collected all the tapes, all electronic information and physical evidence, and have hired forensic experts to see if foul play was a factor in Deflategate. Now, we know how long this. They also went and hired Ted Wells. If you remember, he was, I believe, they hired Ted Wells for the Bounty Gate situation, I believe.
Oh, yes, a few years back, yeah.
Right, to head the investigation and find out. Oh, no, Wells was the one, sorry. He's the one who investigated the Dolphins about the hazing stuff. That was Ted Wells. Right,
oh,
to lead the investigation of the Patriots. Now, the league just announced it has hired Renaissance Associates, which is described as an investigatory firm with sophisticated forensic expertise to assist in reviewing electronic video information. So I guess that's what they're going to do, you know, in case they're going to try to see if they see Brady's lips moving, if they can read what he's saying. And then after he says something, does the guy deflate the ball? I'm telling you, did you hear Mark Brunell just light Tom Brady and the Patriots up?
I didn't get to hear most of it, but you elaborate, please.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I'm going to try during a little commercial break to get what he said. But, you know, then Mike Lupica had him on, and Mike Lupica is one of the few guys that are out there. He could say only one about how I'm not defending him. He's trying to defend the Patriots, what they did. Robin Lundberg, that's my guy, but, I mean, come on. Robin Lundberg says, this is the NFL's fault because they invite these type of things by allowing the quarterback to pick his own balls. Why aren't any other quarterbacks getting caught? What are you, a baby? You can't be around something. You're allowed to pick your own balls, but, you know, you shouldn't leave these around me. I might be tempted to cheat. I mean, you know, if me and you are close and you come over my house and you leave your money around my house unguarded all the time because you feel as though you can trust me, should I take your money and say, well, he invited it. He should have never left that money unguarded. he deserved to have his money taken. Why would he leave that money unguarded? He's inviting something like that to happen. That's the most ridiculous thing. And I'm surprised at Robin. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Then he we all know he hates Peyton Manning. He tried to bring, well, Peyton Manning is the one who originally, the reason why they did it. Aaron Rodgers said the reason why they did it is because Peyton Manning and some other quarterbacks were complaining. So they, to compromise for Peyton, that's why they allowed the quarterback to start taking home their ball. So, you know, find a way to blame this on Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton Manning never got caught.
And then
all these guys trying to pull a Kobe, as I say, to try to pull the pages. Yo, do you hear about what Eli Manning does to the ball? I'm not talking about Eli Manning. I don't care about what Eli Manning does to the balls. This is not about Eli Manning.
Yeah, but it's totally different. It's totally different. It's about
Eli Manning's not got caught, number one. If he's ever done anything to the ball, we're not talking about Eli Manning. We're not talking about Peyton Manning. We're talking about Tom Brady. I don't want to hear about what other guys do. That's like Kobe when he got caught. Well, I should have paid him like Shaq. Well, you know what? Right now, I'm not thinking about Shaq. checked and get caught. You're sitting up in the police department, not checked.
Yeah, that's just exactly. That's what Kobe said. Well, Shaq cheats too.
Right. Well, that has nothing to do with Shaq. Well,
exactly.
Shaq's wife didn't catch him.
Exactly. You
okay?
got caught.
You got
exactly.
caught, and you're going to try to bring Eli and all these other, you know, people like Brad Johnson. Oh, when I was quarterbacking, I
yeah.
used to let the air out of the ball. Who cares? That has nothing to do. That's not going to make the Patriots look any better. Yeah, everybody speeds as well, but not everyone gets caught. If you don't get
that's
caught,
right.
you aren't speeding.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me just now. Oops. I'm okay now. I'm in park.
Right.
Anyway.
So, you know, I mean, come on. The bottom line is, let's see. If what I think happened, I do believe that they've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they did it with all my heart. If a game that I would always believe they did it with the Ravens, that was the team that they struggle with. That was the team that they had problems with. That was the
yep,
team that everybody thought
the
they were going to lose to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cold that night. It was rainy or what have
mm-hmm.
you. I believe that game was a game that they got the edge.
Yep.
Now, everyone's talking about the Colt game. Well, what if it turns out they did it for the Ravens game? Now the close game.
That's true. And that's what,
me,
that's
what
did
for that
make
game?
It worse to me. That's what make it worse to me. Yeah. If it, you know, if it was a close, is a closer game, and if it's proven that night they deflated the balls too, and they can always go to the fence. Well, it was a cold night. What do you expect? Of course the balls deflated. Yeah, but come on. You know, when it's smoke, there's fire, and now that all this is going on, and now with Homeboy coming on our show, giving us these stats, and you
yep.
know how they sometimes, certain stats are really overblown. This is not overblown. This
right,
is
not overblown.
Evidence to me. This is huge evidence. Huge. And we're not talking about one player. We're talking about a whole bunch of former Patriots that were on
exactly.
the Patriots, and their numbers were significantly better when they were on the Patriots handling the ball than
yeah.
they were on other teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's,
so
it's unbelievable.
Pete Carroll came out and said he's not worried about Earl Thomas' availability because, as we know, Earl Thomas is also hurt. And of course, you're going to this game, and the only ones with injury questions are the damn Seahawks.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Richard Sherman, he's going to play,
yeah,
but he's not going to be 100%.
Yeah,
now, Earl Thomas is not 100%. This is not what you need when you're trying to defend Gronkowski.
Yeah. You know, I would love if the Patriots lose and Richard Sherman goes to Tom Brady again. You mad, bro? You mad, bro, again?
I'm telling you, and Richard Sherman is eating this up. I want them to eat it up because he came out and said, you know,
yep.
Yep, he said, you know, that they find they're so quick to let everybody know the Marshawn Lynch, you're going to get fined if you grab your crotch. Or Marshawn Lynch got fined for not talking to reporters. Or if you wear the gold shoes, you're getting fined. Or you can spend,
Marshawn Lynch is a different guy, man. He definitely beats to his own drum. He's a weird dude.
He definitely danced to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. He is. But I'm going to say this, not to get ahead of myself. If it wasn't – now, of course, Seattle's defense is one of the reasons why they're in the Super Bowl. But Marshawn
right.
Lynch is the reason they're in the Super Bowl offensively. No doubt about it. This man
right.
rushed for almost 200 yards, huge runs, big-time plays. This guy, I love – he's like a throwback running back to me. He just come and try to stop me. North and south type of guy. Just, okay, try and stop me.
Right.
Like an Earl Campbell type of guy. You know,
right,
I don't care.
That's a good comparison. Yeah, I think he's going to be key in this game. I don't believe
yep.
the Patriots are as strong against the run as they used to be. Wolford's going to be a little bit age. He's no longer that great, you know, wall that he used to be. I think
mm-hmm.
all of their strengths are on their corners, as Mark said. And Seattle doesn't have that great of receivers anyway. I mean, you figure that they'll probably put Revis on Curse because he's been the one, the more, you know, active receiver. I mean, balling,
mm-hmm.
he's mediocre. And I don't even know who the third receiver is. Not they don't have Harvin, and they got rid of Golden Tate. I mean,
that's
you know,
true.
This receiving core is almost obsolete. I don't even know that tight end. I've never seen a tight end catch a pass. I mean, they don't even utilize their tight end in their pass game. So
right
it's
now.
Basically guys out the backfield, Kurtz and Baldwin. So,
yeah,
I mean, to
yeah.
me, Pete Carroll is going to have, you know, Lynch out the backfield, Kurtz and Baldwin. But now you're going to figure that Darrell Revis is going to take care of either Kurtz or Baldwin, probably Kurtz. Now what are you going to do? Whoever that Pete Carroll has to find a way. I remember one time that tight end, I believe, was John Carl. No, John Carl's from Minnesota. I think it was a guy. I think it was that one time that tight end was Zach Miller. Now, I remember Zach Miller about 5-6 years ago being one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the game when he's on Oakland.
This
guy caught 50, 60, 70 balls every year when he's on Oakland. Mm-hmm. Now, I know over here it's a different scheme, but you know what? Yeah. For the Super Bowl, if you got Darrell Revis taking out one of your wide receivers, and I really don't think that wide receiver, if it's Jermaine Kurtz or if it's Doug Baldwin, right now I'm penciling in 3 catches, 21 yards, if Darrell Revis is on you. I'm penciling that in right now. 3 catches, 21 yards.
Well, you heard it here.
So you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yep.
If you're going to go somewhere else, you're going to have to find one other guy. You got rid of Percy Harvin. It can't be him. You got rid of Golden Tate. I mean, where are they going to find plays?
That's the huge thing. That's why Marshawn
Lynch
gonna
be the question.
Is huge. That's why if Marshawn Lynch doesn't have at least over 100 yards rushing, they're in deep trouble because I love Russell Wilson, but he's not that type of quarterback that just creates plays on his own. He needs the running game to be solid. And that's
last,
what
last
to
week,
run with the ball, stuff like that, you know?
Right. Last week, yes, he was clutch last week because he kept getting the ball back, and then that took luck, took a lot of luck to keep
getting
the ball back. He would have never had a chance to throw that touchdown. He should have never had the opportunity to throw a touchdown. But when he needed to make plays, he wasn't making them against Green Bay. But when he got the ball back, once Green Bay put him in a situation where they kept giving him chances – eventually, sooner or later, I mean, he's a Super Bowl champ. Sooner or later, he's going to hit a big play.
And he's a gamer.
But my point is this, and if I'm Bill Belichick, this is what I do. I say, basically, I'm putting Darrell Revis on this Jermaine Kurtz guy.
Smart.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Brandon Browner, former Seattle Seahawks, he should be able to cover because he knows them very well. He covers them in practice all the time. He should be able to cover Brandon Browner pretty good.
You put
Browner on his former teammate Doug Baldwin. You put Revis on Jermaine Kurtz, and he catches 2 balls, 17 yards. I'm even going down now from 3 balls, 21 yards to 2 balls, 17 yards. Now I'm Bill Belichick. And I'm basically going to say to Russell Wilson, what you did last week, I'm not sold. We're putting 8 in the box on Marshawn Lynch. We got Revis on the outside holding Jermaine Kurtz to 1 catch, 17 yards. And now you're going to have to prove to me that Doug Baldwin is going to beat Brandon Browner all night, or you're going to find another receiver. Who do you have that's going to step up and make plays? I'm telling you right now, that is going to be Belichick's defensive game plan. Stop Marshawn Lynch. That's going to be number one.
Oh, definitely number one. No doubt.
And then second thing is make Russell Wilson find other guys. Because, you know, last week, you know, Jermaine Kurtz was absolutely killing Tremont Williams late in the game. He's actually killing him. He targeted him. He just wasn't catching the ball. He dropped a lot of passes, but he targeted him like 7 times before that final drive. I mean, he was open all night. He just wasn't pulling in a lot of balls.
True.
He's not going to be open like that against Darrell Revis.
No, not in that direction.
So that's my game plan. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm putting 8 in the box. I'm putting Revis on Kurtz to shadow him, Screw a zone. I'm not playing zone. I'm playing man-to-man, bump and run the entire game.
Yep.
I'm putting curse on Revis Island to take him out of the offense, and I'm going to make you find Zach Miller, find whoever, Tommy Deucebag, on the, whoever the hell is on the bench.
Johnny Jerkoff, yeah.
Right, Johnny Jerkoff, whoever's on the bench is going to come out here and catch five balls for 60 yards out of nowhere in a touchdown to help you win a 21-13 game. You're going to have to prove to me you're going to do that.
Well, with that analogy, that means the only way the Seahawks will have a chance is that the Seahawks will have to have turnovers on the defense and score. They have to get defensive points.
Right. They're, in my opinion, now, granted, if I'm the Seahawks.
Go ahead.
Okay. If I'm the Seahawks, this is what I'm saying if I'm Pete Carroll.
Go ahead.
We are not going to do like the other teams and just give up eight catches to Rob Gronkowski and say stop everyone else. We're not doing that. I'm putting Cam Chancellor on Rob Gronkowski.
Yes, that's absolutely
right. That's our speed. That's our best athlete.
Yep.
That's our
strongest
guy.
That's right.
We're putting Cam Chancellor on Rob Gronkowski, and no matter where he goes, when he comes off the line, we're going to hit him with a linebacker to try to knock him off his course, and then every move he makes, Cam Chancellor's going to be right there.
I agree.
We have Richard Sherman on one side. We got Earl Thomas. And the other set playing the free safety slot. Okay, we don't believe that Brandon LaFell and Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola can beat us over the top.
Mm.
They don't have the speed to do it. I don't think they got the strength to do it. I don't think they got the skill to do it. So Chancellor is guarding Gronkowski, and we're going to dare you for him to beat Chancellor one-on-one. We're going to dare you to throw the ball to Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hit him off the line, try to knock him off his course just a little bit. If you see Gronk, if you notice with Brady, he uses his size, but he likes to get himself in that position to use his size, kind of like a post-up basketball move.
Yeah,
you know,
let me
get in front of the guy, and you throw it up there. I'm bigger than everybody, so I'm going to make the catch.
Easy basket.
But that all takes time. If you can just knock him off his route a split second, that'll give enough time for these guys who can believe they can get to Brady, and we're bringing guys up the gut as well because Tom Brady hates hands in his face, as the Giants proved, and even when you can't get there, throw your hands up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He hates guys in his area.
Yep, rattle him a little bit.
And that's what we're doing. And on offense, we're just, you know what? You're putting eight in the box. Well, I'm not changing. That's not what we do. We're not going to go and find Johnny Jerkoff and Phil Patty Cake and everyone else. We're doing what we do. You're going to have eight in the box. We're still running Marshawn Lynch, and we're going to see who's the better man.
Yeah, stop him if you can.
And another thing is a good point by my brother. Another thing is do not wait to run the pistol. Come out the gate with it. That is when they started being effective on offense. Because for whatever reason, Pete Carroll had Russell Wilson playing traditional quarterback. He's not a – why do these guys want to force this down their throat? Let these guys be what they are.
That's true. That's absolutely right. He definitely wasn't himself. He goes to prove with those four turnovers that he threw.
Yep.
I mean, he
threw all being traditional. But then he switched to the pistol.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And when Lynch got going, then they were worried about Lynch. How many plays did you see the Packers run at Lynch and Lynch didn't have the ball?
Yeah.
Or how many times did you see the Packers run at Russell Wilson and Lynch had the ball? Because when they when Lynch gets going, that's what he can do for you.
Yeah. The thing is, because of all what's been going on this week with Deflategate and everything, I mean, the Packers should be killed on that choke job that they did with 5 minutes and 4 seconds left. The defense, when they intercepted that last pass from Russell Wilson,
right. They go sliding down for
game.
No reason.
They checked out of that game because they couldn't stop nobody after that. I mean, that two-point
yep.
conversion, how do you let that happen? The ball was up in the air for like 10 minutes. I could have ate
then,
a grilled cheese sandwich.
I thought the guy easily was going to knock that. I thought he was going to pick it up.
Yeah.
Right to him. It's like he sat and watched him go into his arm. And even when he caught it, he was on the two-yard line.
You let him catch
the ball, spin, and run in?
Like, are you kidding me? And you're like, uh-oh, this is it. You know karma in sports. You know when
I'm a big believer of old man
momentum.
Mo, and I'm a big believer in karma and the football gods. Sports guys.
Yep, exactly. Me too. That was the final nail in the coffin, and then basically they won the toss to Seahawks, and they marched down the field and they scored
right away. And like I said, that was momentum kicked in after they got the 2-point conversion.
Wow.
I mean, they got the onside kick, then the 2-point conversion.
Oh my God.
Once they got the onside kick, I said, I know they're scoring.
I mean, wow. Russell Lynch, I'm telling you. And the thing is, I can't believe I'm saying this, but thank God for the NFL Network, because one thing they're real good at, besides the Football Life show, which I really like, those are like Sports Century of ESPN, like those type of shows, like 33 is real good.
Right.
When they do the whole, when they re-show the whole game again, I caught up, and they broke it down to like 2.5 hours. I watched this game, and I was like, the first few minutes of that game, when Green Bay had 2 turnovers right off the bat, and they were right there, the Seahawks defense saved them. The Seahawks defense is the only reason they had any chance, if that, for that miracle to happen towards the end, because the Packers should have at least had 14. And by halftime, they should have had at least 27 points. But
yeah,
no, they were very, I don't know what, they were right there, 4-for-1. A couple of times, the first couple of possessions when they intercepted the ball, and
I knew,
how you
I
not
right
take
there.
Advantage? You have
yes,
to
absolutely.
Step on the neck. You have to, especially on the road, especially in that building. You got to be a little more aggressive. You got to be, because look what happens. It doesn't happen all the time, but you can't take that chance.
Most of the time it does. When
you're preventing yourself
from winning. You're hampering yourself from winning. We're going to go to some phone calls. But you hamper yourself from winning when you sit there and you kick field goals.
You can't. That's
I believe they said it was 5 turnovers for the Packers, 6 points. And that's unacceptable.
Think about that. They had 5 turnovers, 4 interceptions. One was a fumble because of a kick return, whatever it was.
Right.
And they only got 6? 6? You deserve to lose. And you should have heard real quickly. Like, my family's a bunch of nuts. What a shock. I tell my uncle, because we all hate Boston, you know, Boston-related tattoos. I said, so you're going to root for the Seahawks? Oh, no, the Seahawks don't deserve to be in it because the Packers had to be on the take. I was like, come on, give me a break. I said, I'm not talking to you no more. That's ridiculous. How are you going to root for the Patriots if you like the Jets? That's impossible. There's no way I'll do that. I'm a Giants fan. I can't stand
646-595-4038. 352 area code. You're on the SLV show with the closer and Jimmy Ace.
Yes.
Hey there. This is just Tanner calling.
Hey. What's going on there, brother?
What's up, Jose?
Joseph, how are you?
Good. I wanted to get you all thoughts on the whole deflating football incident that's been occurring out on throughout the news. Whose fault do you think it is?
Well, me personally, Jolt, and then I'll let Jimmy Ace answer. Me personally, I think it falls at the feet of Tom Brady. If I had to pick a person, I'm going to have to say it's Tom Brady, and I'm going to say Tom Brady ordered the football to be deflated. I'm going to hold off because of his press. I'm going to hold off, and because of a couple other people saying that it is a possibility that the head coach doesn't know, it does make it difficult for me, only because it is Bill Belichick, and he knows what time everyone goes to the bathroom in that building. So that's what makes it a little difficult for me. But if I had to say it's one person, I'm going to say it lands at the feet of Tom Brady. I'm not so sure, but I think Jimmy Ace may think both of them. But, Jimmy, what do you think of that?
Well, it could go either way, I think. I think a little more Tom Brady, because he is the quarterback. He's the one throwing the ball. He's the one gripping the ball. So I would think a little more with him. But I don't believe for one second that the head coach, a guy who's so anal, and a type A type of douchebag personality where everything has to be right, the wind has to blow a certain way, and the cheerleaders have to be on one side. Trust me, he knows every code, everything, the stadium code, the cheerleader code, those guys on the field that shoots the guns, the fake Patriot guys that shoots the guns when they score a touchdown. He knows what ammo they use, that fake ammo. He knows what color the uniform. He knows the all uniform code. Give me a break. I don't want to hear it. Enough's enough. And the NFL, grow some balls. Either, no pun intended, grow some balls. Either do something, or I don't want to hear no more. You have been a disgrace of an organization, a disgrace of a league, all year long. With the domestic abuse, with child abuse, and you just look the other way. Now with this, and take days to even respond. I can understand investigation taking days, but to take 4 days to say, oh, well, now we're going to look into it. I'm like, come on. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Joseph, gun to your head, Joseph. Gun to your head, Joseph. Who do you think is responsible for this?
Yeah, Joseph.
This is the first time I ever heard or watched something like that happen, so I'm not quite sure whose fault it is. It could have been a
Oops. That's a lot of
whoops. Or what the fuck?
It could have been a whoop. It could have been a WTF. Joseph, thanks for the call, man.
The great
I
call,
like that.
Joseph.
Could it be a WTF or a whoops?
Oops. I think
917 area code. You're on the SLV show. I think this is my boy from Dockers.
Oh, my God. What are you calling for, the moon?
No, no, you hear me?
Hey, hold on. Kermit, what is going on with your phone?
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. This happened last week. You were just so far into your conversation. I didn't want to interrupt.
Me too.
But you had something funky happening with your phone the last couple of weeks.
I don't know. Let me restart my phone. I'll call you back.
Okay.
We'll take you right on.
I felt like I was a
I didn't
Popeye
want to say it to him last week.
I thought a Popeye's drive thru. Yeah, let me get the 6-piece and, the biscuits. Like, what the hell?
I didn't want to say it to him last week, but I was like, what the hell
too.
Is wrong with this guy's phone?
Yeah, but this was even worse. Oh, my God. Was he in Afghanistan?
The
moon? Not being a hostage. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So
we'll
get Kirby when he calls back. I know he wants to talk about I hope he doesn't want to talk about the Knicks. And then talk about.
Well, the only thing with the Knicks is this. This is the only thing that gets on my nerves with the Knicks. Carmelo, okay, good for him. He's starting the All-Star game. I don't care. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to play the game, and then he's going to have the knee surgery, and he's going to sit out the rest of the year. You know that's going to happen. You know
he actually told me earlier that he'd be calling in, but he never mentioned it. He wants to talk about what we're going to go into as well, his All-Star reserve picks.
Okay, that's cool.
As we know, the All-Star starters, the All-Star were named.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is Carmelo Anthony, which Charles Barkley went off on the Knicks. And went off on the NBA saying he should not be a starter.
The fans
so
are so stupid. The fans should never have a vote. I kind of agree with that a little bit, to be honest.
Right. It's Carmelo, LeBron James, actually Pau Gasol. It's LeBron James, Pau Gasol, Carmelo Anthony, whether it was John Wall or Kyle Lowry, are those two? Mm. I think they're both starting.
Oh, really?
I think it's Lowry and Wall.
Okay.
Carmelo. Pau Gasol and LeBron. Those
yeah,
are
LeBron
five.
Yeah, you gotta have the face of the NBA.
Then in the West, I'll tell you.
Is Kobe on his team, by the way?
He is? No, Kobe's. I believe Kobe's got put in as a starter. Sad.
I know he had a torn rotator cuff, so he won't be
playing. But Kobe
anymore.
Won't be playing because he's got a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah. Damn.
But once Kerman calls back, we're getting back on. 914 area code, you're on. That's how
guys,
we show.
It's me, Kerman, calling from the landline now.
There you go.
Oh, my God, what a difference. Dude. Welcome back.
I don't know. I decided not to call back on my cell phone, but usually when I restart the phone, my cell phone, and I call back, everything is fine. But I was like, you know what? Let me call from the landline. I don't want to take any chances.
Hey.
We can
hear your voice. We can hear your expertise. I know you want to talk about your reserve picks and a little bit about the Brady thing. Why don't we start Brady first?
Yes.
I think it's all Brady. I think Brady was the gunman, and I think Belichick is the one holding the money back. You know how, like, for example, if two people are robbing a bank, I think Brady's the gunman. And I think there's no way the NFL is going to suspend any of them.
They have no balls. That's awful.
Unless they committed a murder, there's no way.
I don't think so either. Goodell and them are going to suspend them.
Sean Payton has to do a suspension.
That's the double standard. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's ridiculous. They should come down just like what they did with Sean Payton.
I mean, that's true, but, you know, this is a big game. The ratings are sky high. It's two big-time teams, two champions. You know, Seattle's the current champion. New England's been the champion before, and you don't want to play with that. Not only that, you know, it's a gambler's game nowadays, and you're messing with a lot right there. And I think this caught the NFL off guard. But I think at the end of the day, Brady was the gunman, and Belichick was the one knowing everything was going on, and you know, he had the money back. They asked the question to Brady in his press conference, asking him if he's a cheater, and he says, "I believe I'm not," or something like that.
I don't believe so.
That's what he said. To me, that's the dumbest answer you could say.
Yeah, but he's a pretty boy. What do you expect?
Kermit's a good-looking guy. He wouldn't say anything like that. That wouldn't be his answer.
I'm not saying
I would have said no way. I would have said I'm not a cheater. No way.
Right.
You know?
Just say no.
I think Seattle's going to carry this momentum, and they're going to win by at least. I had them winning by 3 points before, 24-21, but I have a good feeling they might win by 2 touchdowns.
Mouth to God's ears. What your reserve picks? First of all, Kerman, just update us. Who are the starters? In the East, do you have the starters in the East and West handy?
Yes, I do. The starters for the East are Paul Gasol, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, John Wall, and Kyle Lowry.
Okay, so they're going with two. Mm-hmm. They're going. We don't care whether it's a point in the shooting guard, whoever got the ball. And what about
Kyle Lowry made it, which he's very deserving. I actually voted for him, and I was surprised that he took a weight spot in the lead. And my reserves are Paul Millsap, Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Chris Bosh, and Nikola Vucevic from Orlando. I do not have Jeff Teague on my team. I do not.
I would remove. So you have LeBron, Love, and Kyrie?
Yes, I'm going by numbers.
I would take Kevin Love.
I'm not one of these guys that want to put four Atlanta Hawks in All-Star game because they have the best team. I do look at record if I have to pick between two people, but I like to go with numbers.
So Paul Millsap on your team?
Yes.
Okay, I would find a way to get Kevin Love out of there. I think Kevin Love had a terrible first half.
Yep, I agree.
Being to what he's doing, I think Kevin Love has had a terrible first half. I would search to the high heavens in that Eastern Conference to find me someone else, whether it's Al Horford.
Jeff Teague is definitely going to make it. He's everyone's popular pick because of the fact that Atlanta Hawks are playing the best basketball they've had since who knows. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. So Jeff Teague is going to make it. The question is Al Horford going to make it?
Well, I don't even have it to be Al Horford, but please find someone to take Kevin Love's spot. Kevin Love cannot
I think
make
the, big man
the All-Star.
From
he's had a terrible first half.
He's averaging 17
Kervin,
points and 10 rebounds.
We're going to do this, Kervin. Kervin, once this phone call's over, please, get up, you know, do with a fine-tooth comb, whatever you have to do, we have to find a way to get another All-Star. Find somebody. We have to look through the numbers. Maybe it's something that you know, slipped through the cracks.
Oh, it's the kid
from
Orlando.
By night's end, Kervin, you're going to have me another All-Star. I have faith in you.
Well, you could take out Love and put in Jeff Teague, or take out Love and put in Al Horford, but I think the kid from Orlando should make it, but I don't think he will, which
right.
He's averaging about 19 points and 11 rebounds. And Jeff Teague is going to make it. He's a popular pick, but by numbers, I mean, there's a lot of players who I didn't name have better numbers than Jeff Teague. Kemba Walker, Al Jefferson. They I think Andre Drummond and Brandon Knight, they have better numbers than Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, if
Brandon
he makes,
Knight,
would,
I wouldn't mind Brandon Knight being there. Now, Vucic's the one, the 19 and 11, right?
Yep.
And is he? And okay, you had him named already.
Yeah, I have him named already. Kenny Smith, Barkley, and Shaq do not have him named, or Ernie Johnson. Mike Fratello
okay.
doesn't have him named. No one. I think I'm the only guy who has him named, and I'm not an NBA analyst.
What about your West guys?
My West guys, the starters. Now, I made this list before Kobe was hurt. So Kobe's the starter for now.
Right.
Stephen
right.
Curry, Blake Griffin, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol are your starters. They were voted in by the fans, which was announced
right.
last Thursday.
So Mark is going to play against his brother. Is this the first time brother ever played against brother in an All-Star game? Probably.
Yes, it's the first time ever.
Wow. Okay.
First time both started against each other. Or
right.
even played on the same team, if I'm right. Now, my Western Conference reserves are the following. DeMarcus Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, and Russell Westbrook.
Hey, I can't argue that.
But
a lot of small
injured,
guards, but I guess those are the best guys.
With Kobe injured and LaMarcus Aldridge injured, yeah,
right.
If I have to pick two guys to replace them, I'm gonna go with.
Well, remember, I'm hearing now that he's not having the surgery. He's gonna play.
No, he's yeah. playing tonight. He's gonna delay the surgery, but I don't know when he's gonna have the surgery.
It says LaRoxos will play Saturday night against Washington after delayed surgery on torn muscle cover and left team on Saturday. I mean, but why, if he's gonna have the surgery for the All-Star break? Why is he going to delay it? From what I hear, that surgery's going to keep him out a while. So if he's going to have it this year anyway, why the hell is he delaying it for the Wizard game?
I have no idea.
Unless he plans on playing through it for the season.
But if he doesn't play, and Kobe obviously is not going to play,
right.
my guys to take over, if it was up to me, will be Chris Paul and Tim Duncan.
So wait a minute. Chris Paul is not on the All-Star team?
No, he's not. The West is loaded. My seven guys are not on my
wow.
No, CP3 originally is not on my list. This the Western Conference is loaded, man. CP3,
Chris
Mike Conley.
Oh, wait. You wait 1 minute.
Ain't good.
Kervin. I'm blaming Kervin because he's the one on the phone right now. You hold your horses, sir. You gonna mean to tell me that Chris Paul? Well, I mean, of course, these are your reserves.
Yeah.
You don't have Chris Paul as even a reserve on your team. Is that what you're telling me?
With no replacements to Kobe and Aldridge, no, I do not have him on my list. West is
wow.
loaded. Who are you gonna take out? Westbrook, Lillard, and Thompson and Harden on my guards. Who are you gonna take out?
I'll tell you one thing. Chris Paul, I believe he's leading the West in assists.
And not to mention, you got guys like Mike Conley, Monte Ellis, Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki that I'd even name. Rudy Gay's been putting up numbers, too.
But it's Chris Paul. He's one of the faces. I mean, maybe you don't have Chris Paul. You must be thinking about Chris Paul.
Maybe I'm not thinking about Cliff Paul. No, man, this is not the insurance all-star game.
Good one, Evan.
Timothy. We're going to dig out. I have four guards, and Jimmy H can answer this question, too. James Harden, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, and Russell Westbrook. Which one of those guys are you going to take out?
I got to take out Lillard. I got to get Chris Paul in this game.
So you're putting Lillard, you're putting CP3 over Lillard? Lillard has top 10 numbers in the league right now.
I would have to realize.
I mean, well, you can't take out Westbrook. You know, Westbrook's put up better numbers than Lillard. You can't take out. You know what?
You can't take out Harden.
Well, because
I mean,
he just
CP3
dropped 52, you can't take
something.
Out Klay Thompson?
I'm not picking out Klay. He just dropped 52 points. He just
said. That's what I just said. Because he just dropped 52 points, you're not going to take him out?
He deserves to be an all-star. Golden State have probably the best record in the league besides Atlanta. They deserve two all-stars.
It's tough, man. I'm going to be interested to see what the reserves actually are. Your list is probably not bad. Give me your reserves again. I'm going to tell you who's not going to be on there.
My reserves for the Western Conference are DeMarcus Cousins, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, and Russell Westbrook.
Jesus Christ.
Hard,
that's
man.
That's not easy, to be fair.
But Kobe's hurt, though. Kobe's not going to play, so CP3 will get in.
No, he shouldn't be there anyway.
Right. CP3 is going to be a reserve because Russell Westbrook will probably start.
Nah, Harden
will
start over Kobe. No way.
Well, Harden will start for Kobe.
Yeah, Harden will start
right.
for Kobe.
Yeah.
Somebody will replace.
Right, so he's going to get so you're going to get let off the hook by default.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I think CP3. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love CP. I mean, CP3 is a great leader and everything, but he needs to be more aggressive. He needs to attack the basket more and be more aggressive on offense.
Yeah, the 17 points again. That's not going to cut it.
He should be averaging at least 21.
Yeah, and he's got the skills to do it.
Like, you can't tell me CP3 is better than Isaiah Thomas. He can't hold the candle next to Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas who? The one that's playing now or Isaiah Thomas all of
Isaiah Thomas, the Detroit Pistons. He's better than the one that's playing for the Phoenix Suns. The one that had a lawsuit with the Knicks, that one.
Well, everyone beats the Knicks.
No, he's definitely not better. I think Isaiah, ironically, I think Isaiah Thomas is actually underrated. So, what do you think is you already told me. You said two touchdowns. Looking into the second half, we got to be getting ready to get out of here. Let's look into the second half of the NBA. Right now, what was your original pick? Well, your my pick, I believe, is the same. I had the Spurs and the Cavs. You did too, didn't you?
Yeah, before the season started, I had the Spurs and Cavs, and I had the Spurs winning in five games.
I had the Spurs winning in six.
Yeah.
Right now, if you can change it, would you change it?
Honestly, I want to, but I don't. I think Cavs, we've seen the best out of every team, except for the Spurs and the Cavs. Spurs haven't been healthy. Cavs haven't figured it out. Cavs are starting to figure out. They're blowing out teams. LeBron James healthier now than he's ever been this season. Spurs, they just got back Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's their X factor.
I don't think they've lost since they got him back.
Watch out for these two teams in the second half. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change it because I feel that we have not seen the best out of these teams.
Exactly.
Me neither. Good stuff, Kevin, man, as always. Man, that was a great show.
Yeah.
And
thank God he used a landline. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she sounded great. Sounded great, Kirby.
Yeah.
Use the landline as much as possible.
Yeah.
We wanted to thank Mark Stopa for calling in with all his, his nuggets about the Patriots and those crazy numbers he gave us. I have to get him to tweet me those numbers again so I can, act like I'm smart and say, hey, did you know that the Patriots?
Yeah, make yourself look good.
Make myself look good. So next week we'll be doing the show. We'll give our predictions and everything for the game next week.
Yeah, that's right.
Until then, we want to thank all the callers. We want to thank Mark Stopa. Thank Dollhouse Radio, of course. And we'll see everybody next week, 6 p.m., with our Super Bowl show, our Super Bowl prediction analysis. Let's see if we'll have a insult. I mean, not an insult. A result. I would say insult when talking about the Super Bowl. A result.
It might be insult.
It might be an insult to that result.
Exactly.
And we'll see everybody next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yes.
And next week we're talking Super Bowl, hopefully.
Yes. Exactly.
Latest and tomatoes.
Peace and latest and tomatoes. Hot sugar next at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah.